Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
Hey friends, Lee Brown here with One Community Real Estate. I've got a special guest with y'all today so that we can all learn together about a growing topic called ADUs, that's accessory dwelling units. And you may wonder what this has to do with you. Well, if you have aging parents, you might want a place for them to live. If you've got a kid that won't leave your house, you might want a place for them to be somewhat separate from you. If you want to have an Airbnb with a separate property, if you want to just think about on a bigger scale, how do we approach our inventory crisis and the lack of affordable housing? There's lots and lots of reasons for us to know what ADUs are and what they mean to our communities. And so I've got Paul Dashevsky with me today with Great Builds. Paul's going to answer lots and lots of questions for you. So Paul, tell my audience who you are, where you're located, any of those little tidbits that might help them know more about your story.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. Great to be on with you. My background is I was in real estate development for quite some time, and then I transitioned to flipping homes for about 10 years. I'm happy to talk about that. That had some good stories. And then most recently, a couple of years ago, I started this company here in California for now called Great Builds. And Great Builds is, we call ourselves a matchmaker. We match homeowners and realtors who want to renovate.
I'm just singing the song from Fiddler on the Roof, matchmaker, matchmaker, matchmaker.
We should use that as our jingle.
I don't know. You've got a Z on your name, so obviously you're trying to appeal to a younger audience. Because I should probably type that in the comments that you're Great Builds. Because you know, it's probably what people do.
I know it's got to be something fun, but we matchmake homeowners that want to renovate with pre-screened, pre-vetted contractors, because that's actually hard to do, and we could talk about that. It's hard to find a good contractor. I think everybody has that problem. But the reason I came on, you know, and we want to talk about ADUs is 50% of the calls we get that my staff gets for folks who want to renovate, over 50%, aren't kitchens, they're not bathrooms, they're not second story additions or pools. They're ADUs, accessory dwelling units. They're all the rage. Happy to share what I know about those structures.
Okay, so I have to ask you a question because you mentioned the difficulty of finding a good contractor. I'm pretty sure that is something everybody in realtor world will say amen to, because unless you're married to one, they're good for like 6 months and then they start to vanish. And it's so pervasive. I don't know, Paul, if you listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, but he interviewed Kanye West on Saturday. And legit, it was a crazy, amazing, insightful 3 hours. But Kanye even makes mention of the fact that it's really hard for anybody to get a contractor that'll get a job done. So if Kanye has trouble, you know, regular people do. And so let's break this down for our audience. You have, listening to this, a lot of realtors. You have regular people who are consumers of real estate, producers of real estate. You got builders and investors and all kinds of people out there. Let's break down what an ADU is. What are people asking for? And we're not going to talk about the zoning and regulatory side yet. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. So talk about the picture of it. So tell people what it looks like and the things people are asking you for, and also where you're doing these. Give us a geographic location.
Yeah, we concentrate in Southern California for now, trying to broaden out to throughout California, because here in California, the laws have really changed. I know that some other states and municipalities, that's happening. So I'll save that. Yeah, accessory dwelling unit really is, for all intents and purposes, a second unit, a small home, call it in your backyard. In the past, you couldn't just build a second home in your backyard. That was against the zoning, right? It was single family zoning, right? And now a lot of places, they're saying, yes, you can go ahead and build a second home in your backyard. Here in California, it can be up to 1,200 square feet. So it's pretty large. A lot of people are taking their existing detached garages in the backyard, adding to them, converting them, because parking isn't a requirement here in urban Los Angeles anymore. So essentially a second unit. And what I think is most fascinating about these and why we get so many calls is what you mentioned, which is, what are all the use cases for ADUs? It used to be a man cave, a she shed, a guest house, you know, a pool house. Now it's a work from home office, right? We're all dealing with that. We get some calls about that. Another one is for your retired parents, like you said, or your college age kids. You build the unit, you put them in the back, and now they're close to home. You keep an eye on them. Another one is rental income. It's really expensive in these many of these urban areas to afford a home. So we get calls from first-time buyers saying, I'm going to buy this house, but the only way I can afford to buy this house and pay this mortgage is I have to put an ADU and get a tenant to help me pay the mortgage. So that's a really interesting use case. And then the last one, which I think really is fascinating, and we've gotten a few calls about this, is folks that are retirement age, they own the home, maybe they own it outright, and they don't need as much space anymore. So what they do is they build an ADU in their backyard that they move into, maybe it's one person or two people, and then they rent out their main house and they use that income as their retirement income, and they're off to the races.
I like that. So they're flipping the script. They're renting the big house and staying in the small house. I love that because we know that that's where one of the shortage situations comes from, is that people don't have anywhere to go. And so you might have a family of six is now a family of two and doesn't need all the extra rooms, but with nowhere to go, they really can't sell. So this could help really bring some new inventory to the market. Now, I'm curious about something when you're talking about the allowability in Southern California. And by the way, since people are leaving California and coming to North Carolina, you should probably get out here pretty soon because, you know, we got your people coming here. And with the whole aging parents bit, I'm sure that a lot of the viewers are dealing with aging parents, as I am, and always thinking about what's the future look like. And COVID, this whole season, I think, especially if you watch what happened in New York, a lot of us are even more concerned about where our parents are long term. So you want to keep them as close to us as possible. So I love this. So talk to me really briefly, though, about zoning and regulation, because we know that you've gotten some new ability to add those. It's not the same throughout the country. And there's a lot of areas that are learning about these. They're asking about these. What should realtors and consumers know about the allowability of ADUs? And what questions could they ask to help it move forward in their communities?
Yeah, it's very specific to the town, the city, the county, the state you're in. Right? That's the bottom line. There's just some places in this country that are not going to want them. You know, they're going to want to keep their single family zoning, and that's the way it is. And I understand that. And there's some places where you have a housing crisis like California, and that's why they're moving out east. So it's very specific. You have to, we always tell people, you have to go to the city planning department, city building department, and find out what your rules are. Go online and do some Googling around, or talk to a local architect or designer that knows your area and just ask them, are you doing this for other folks? In California, it became a statewide thing. I know there's some other states, Texas, Oregon, Colorado, that are looking at these things. So I think we're going to have more and more of this happen. But California was one of the first, and you know, I think it'll maybe spread nationwide.
Well, it's interesting. Like I, for example, live on 10 acres. Part of it's in the floodplain, and part of it's on the side of a hill. So it's not all usable land. But I look at the amount of space that I have. I could do a small, tiny spot in it to have room for aging parents, or it's not going to be a kid because once they're 18, they're gone. But that's a rule in our house. But you got to think about where we've got to find some good usability. And we always say in real estate, they're not making any more dirt. So this is a wonderful way to introduce more opportunities into a marketplace for rooftops. So knowing that the zoning and regulation is different everywhere, what would you say is the biggest benefit that you've seen your clients have after adding an ADU? And so you can't use keeping mama close because I already set that one. It can't be keeping kids close because people need to let their kids go anyway. We should talk about that. And let's see, it can't be density. So give us another reason they should add those.
I mean, income. You know, this is, people are losing their jobs. Things are happening. A lot of people are using equity in their home, right? So you can do a cash out refi or some kind of equity refinance, get a low interest rate, right? Below whatever it is, 3%. Use that money to pop up the ADU. Now it's there forever. And right, as realtors, we know you get two things. You get an income stream for as long as that thing is there, and you've increased value. When you go to sell, you know, that it's there. Now it's two homes on the lot and people are going to see the value. They're going to pay you more for that property.
So what would you say is the biggest issue with ADUs? Why do you think some communities don't like them and don't want them? Is this just a NIMBY kind of a situation? And for you non-regulatory realtor nerds, that's to not in my backyard people who want everything to happen somewhere else.
Yeah, sure. A little bit, right? I moved into a single family neighborhood because I didn't want to live near apartments, someone might say. But if you're going to put going to allow two units on every lot, that's going to feel dense. That'll be more people coming and going. That's more, you know, cars parking on the street and people partying. So a little bit of it is sort of that NIMBYism. And some of it is pop a home on your own property. Let's say you have 10 acres, so it's not an issue. You can create plenty of privacy. But in areas where we have 5,000-6,000 square foot lots, you pop a second home, you really got to think about privacy, right? Like, you know, one tenant wants to party, the other doesn't. It gets too loud. You know, you don't want to hear people screaming at their spouse. So, you know, it's the density, it happens.
But, you know, if you have an ADU, you might yell at your spouse less because you could send your spouse to live in the ADU and reduce the divorce rate. So really, that's got a giant benefit for everybody. You just have to think creatively. And so talk to me about cost. So what is the cost comparison? And I know that your numbers in Southern California are going to be far higher than my cost in North Carolina because you live in a crazy state that likes to charge too much. But as compared to the big house, is it super duper high, like per square foot for that smaller unit, or is it comparable? How do people work this out knowing that labor is high right now and so are materials costs?
Yeah. I won't quote prices. I mean, I could tell you, in Southern California and all of California, it's a little bit ridiculous. I'm sure your prices are way off, but way different. But I could tell you that when you build smaller, it costs more on a per square foot basis. And usually these ADUs are smaller than a house, right? If you build a 600 square foot ADU, that's going to cost more per square foot than if you build a 2,000 or 2,500 square foot house. You could keep the costs down by using, I'll call it rental specs, right? Simple specs, no marble, no fancy fixtures, just basic simple specs, no tile, let's say. But on a per square foot basis, it's more expensive because you have a unit and you still have to have a kitchen. Those are expensive. You still have a bathroom, you still have a roof, you still have flooring. You still need an air conditioning unit or a heater for a small unit, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. So you can see it's a little bit more on a per square foot basis.
So when you're thinking about these units and somebody's looking to invest in it, what is their biggest fear to overcome when they're making that phone call to you, trying to decide if this makes sense for them?
Look, it's a big expense. I mean, we can't pretend that this is like going out and buying a pair of shoes, right? This is a big expense. They have to, you know, foresee this as something that they really want to do and has value for them. And then really, it's a 6-month process. You got to work with architects and then you got to have a contractor on your property for the next, whatever it is, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9 months, building you a little house in the backyard. And I think everyone's afraid of what we hear as the nightmare remodel where they just stop showing up. It takes twice as long. They ask me for costs well beyond what I expected to pay and I can't pay them. So you have to get people to understand it's all about finding the right contractor, quality contractor that's reputable in your area, that's done work for friends or colleagues, that comes recommended. I mean, that's part of why I started Great Build is because if you get a good contractor on your project, it's not going to cost you too much more. It's not going to take any longer. If you get a crappy contractor, you know, good luck.
So what would you say is the reason your clients choose to do a full-on small house on the property as opposed to, say, a storage unit house or one of these new repurposed type properties? What makes your product different besides the fact that you're on site building it and it's more expensive?
We have clients that want to do both, Lee, to be honest with you. Some people want to stick built right on site with a contractor. And I know there's a lot of fun products, storage containers and prefab and factory built ADUs that are coming on. And some people want to do those. And that's totally fine. The only thing we want to educate people on early is those prefab ADUs. You go online sometimes and the price looks good. It's like, oh, great, I can get a whole unit. What the client doesn't always realize is it doesn't always include delivery. It doesn't always include craning. If you need it craned, you know, on 10 acres, you wouldn't. But if you need it craned in, and it doesn't usually include site work. So you need to put a foundation in, before you pop one of those bad boys on, and you need to run utilities as well. So the costs are not all inclusive. That would be my tip, is double check what else you have to do to, you know, to put in one of those prefab boys.
That's wild and crazy. I never thought about craning before, because in the Charlotte market, we do tend to have a little more spacing between our properties. But of course, in some of our tighter neighborhoods, I guess you'd have to do that to get to the backyard. That's kind of wild. I would imagine some of our homeowner associations wouldn't like that. Have you seen issues with homeowner associations and busybody neighbors when something's already started as a process? And how have you advised people to deal with those conversations?
You know, what's funny is I haven't personally, but California had some laws back a few years ago that started this whole ADU trend. They didn't speak to HOAs and CC&Rs, but then they added some laws in 2020 that actually said that HOAs and CC&Rs could not restrict building these. So clearly there were some issues during that time.
So with all the bad legislation in California, that sounds like a good one, though. Tell the HOAs to put their brakes on and quit getting in the way of helping find creative ways to have increased shelter opportunities in the marketplace. And I'm just sitting here thinking about the numbers. And besides the idea of craning, which is totally unique to this whole project idea, the nursing home cost now is getting so out of control at $5,000 and $6,000 a month for some facilities, higher for memory care. Golly Moses, you would recoup your costs fairly quickly if you had aging parents back there, not to mention the fact that you could rent it later on. Or I guess if aging people put one in their yard, they could let a live-in healthcare person be back there to help keep an eye on them, and that person wouldn't have to be off-site driving 30 minutes. There's lots of different ways to look at this. And so I have a question for all of y'all out there. Do you know if your community allows ADUs? And if you don't, this is an excellent question to ask, because we're having this conversation as North Carolina realtors. And I see some of my North Carolina realtor friends are over here, including my friend Carol Bradley, who's right here in my market. And we're talking about ADUs as a state realtor association and how we can talk to local municipalities about making sure that they're allowed in our local zoning, because y'all, this is the kind of thing that we need to get in front of and make sure that it's allowable before some fuss budget goes down to county commission and gets everything blocked, which, by the way, is why you got to pay attention to who you're voting for locally. Hello, these kinds of decisions don't come out of D.C. These come out of your local state and county commission decisions, city councils, mayors. Pay attention to your local officials. So, Paul, tell us the wildest thing you've seen. So, as you may know, my podcast is actually Crazy Shit in Real Estate. I want to know the wildest request you had from an ADU person. And then I'm probably going to ask you to tell a flipper story, because everybody loves a good flipper story. But I'm just really curious if you've had a request that was weird or that you couldn't fulfill or weren't comfortable fulfilling.
I wish I had a good story about that, but I don't. I mean, ADUs are kind of, you know, they're kind of boring in terms of, hey, one on the back, put one in my backyard or put one above my garage. But I can tell you, when I was flipping homes, that and I did that for about 10 years. And early in those, during that time, 2009 and few years past that, we bought a lot of REOs. Yeah, we bought a lot of REOs and short sales. And so when we'd show up at the house, you just had no idea what you were going to see, right? You know, the place was torn up, or there would be squatters there with baseball bats. Ooh, and I love this one. This one's kind of crazy. You wouldn't think about this. A couple times we'd walk into a house and the family's pet would be left. Everything was gone, but they left the friggin' dog.
Special place in hell for those people. Let's just call it what it is.
And Lee, it happened more than once. It happened a couple times. So we would have to, like, we'd clean up the dog. We'd have to put it on Facebook to see if anybody would adopt the dog. It was like, really, this has become my job, is pet adoption. But so beyond that, the craziest house flipping story I had, my partner and I flipped about 350 or so homes over those 10 years. We had this one house, and it was like October. And so here in Southern California, it's still kind of nice and warm. And this speaks to bad contractors, which I love to talk about. On a Thursday, I think it was, it was time for the roof to be replaced. He tore off the old roof, and he was supposed to come back on Friday and put the new layer of roof back on, right? But he calls and says, I can't, I have an emergency, whatever the excuse was, right? So it's fine, it's sunny, it's nice, but you know, I got no roof on my house. Well, guess what happens over the weekend?
Of course, a monsoon.
It rains. It rains on my house that doesn't have a roof. Right. And so everything gets wet and we have to tear out the flooring and the drywall and just air filters and purifiers and clean everything up. Of course, I'm, you know, thousands of dollars and thousands of, you know, tons of headaches. And anyway, so fine. We get that patched up and we get the roof on and we finish up the house. And we're like 99% done with the house. And then the water heater inside the house leaks and floods the place all over again. So that's my story about my house with two floods.
But you know, what tells me you're a professional in your field of work is you did not call it a hot water heater. So good job. You know, it's a water heater. And I picked up on that because one thing we do know in real estate is that you can spot a professional a mile off because they know their business, they tell the truth, and they're super transparent with helping make things happen. So if our people watching this, I've got a lot of California realtors that follow my feed, how can they reach you if they want to find out more about Great Builds? And how can my realtors across the country or here in North Carolina, because I see my locals, they'd like to talk to you about coming here, how can people reach out to Great Builds and to you?
Yeah, I'm Paul at greatbuilds.com. That's my email. The website is greatbuilds.com, greatbuildz.com. And we have a great blog with a lot of information for anybody about finding good contractors, firing contractors if they're not great, building ADUs, all sorts of resources. So, you know, feel free to check that out or reach out to me with questions.
So also, if any of the people watching this video are involved with their local elected officials or their state elected officials, and they need a professional to help them explain that ADUs are not of the devil, are you willing to talk to those people so that they can prepare better talking points and help us protect ADUs and that opportunity across the country?
Happy to help where I can.
See, he didn't know I was going to ask him that. So he kind of got put on the spot to say yes, but I know that y'all won't abuse that. But I know that professionals like Paul do want to make sure that we're always thinking creatively about more opportunities to create great housing opportunities for our neighbors. Paul, thank you so much for coming on to chat a little bit about what's not a very sexy topic, but it's a very important topic. And I'm excited to find out what you do with Great Builds as you continue to expand.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me on.
All right, y'all, everybody have a great afternoon. And if you need Paul's information, we'll make sure it's in the notes for the episode here on all the different channels so you can reach out at your leisure. And make sure you're telling a friend that we do cool stuff over here. We'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.